your number one source for local sports. This is Mower County Sports Live with your host, KAUS Sports Director Sam Hauser on Mower County's voice for sports, AM 1480, KAUS.
Welcome into Mower County Sports Live, kicking off a new week here on this Monday, December 12th, 2018. Hope your day's going well so far. Sam Hauser with you till 6 o'clock tonight. No sports on your radio tonight, but we have a busy week ahead. Oh boy, this one is going to be one of those weeks that really just tells you everything you need to know about the winter sports season here in and around Mower County. Got the Packers with Northfield tomorrow night, LP with Grand Meadow on Thursday for some girls basketball, back to the Packers on Friday at Mankato East, a game that could very well decide the Big Nine, as we got a lot going on under our Mower County Sports umbrella. This is one of the better seasons that I can remember, at least for the winter season over the last couple of years, and it seems to just keep getting better every year, so we will have plenty of coverage. I'm not going to go so far as to say wall-to-wall coverage of Mower County sports, but probably close to it. Given how many section tournament runs we're anticipating for Mower County area teams between boys and girls basketball, whatever's left of hockey, maybe some wrestling in there. That is close to it as we could possibly bring you here with our sports staff here at AM 1480 KUS. Get to your Monday rewind here in just a second. And talking about what a big week it was, or what a big week it will be, go back to the weekend with the LP girls getting past Goodyear for the first time in a couple of years. And we have the post-game recap, the post-game story on myaustinminnesota.com and our social media sites. You can go check that out there. But we'll get to the Monday rewind here in just a second. Phone lines are open, 507-437-7666. Start off the show today, 507-437-7666. And, of course, the Mower County Sports Live text line always open as well. That one, 507-299-2972. 507-299-2972. So if you're new to how things work around here, the Monday Rewind is usually saved once, so we make sure that we're getting in some high school sports conversation from the weekend, but also you usually save the Monday Rewind specifically for to recap a game that we broadcasted over the weekend, especially now in season where there's so much going on here again in our winter sports season, just being the busiest one, just so we make sure we have time to look back on game we brought you over the weekend. And Saturday we were down in Lisle for what was really one of the top games of the entire season, just because of the pedigree of both programs with LP and Goodyear.
This weekend we saw the good.
He gets away from the pressure, fires to the end zone. It's Greg Lewis!
And the not so good.
Oh my goodness! He dropped the ball!
But it's another game in the books, and it's time to look back with our Monday Rewind.
Christensen double teamed at the top of the key. She gets the pass out near wing to Truckenmiller. Bounce pass to Christensen. Now she'll drive the lane, go for the layup. Good. And Olivia Christensen gets right past Opsahl and goes to the basket. Christensen on the board. 7-0 Lyle Pacelli here. We're 3 minutes into the basketball game. Goodyear still looking for a point. Walter looking to get this one in and does to Olivia Christensen right at the free throw line. Christensen, her running pass goes to Christy Fenton. Now out high to Bollingberg for the three. Abigail Bollingberg drains the long ball, 15-11, back to a four-point lead now for LP. And one more free throw coming up for Christy. That second one on the way and too strong. Lucy Nelson, though, with the knocks it away, gets it to Olivia Christensen and the layup for Christensen. Oh, what a play there by Lucy Nelson to see that ball. 18-11, LP up here, 6:35 to go in the first half. It's the long rebound comes out to her. LP ball up 22-16 here under 4 minutes to play. It's the Truckenmiller far corner, three on the way, count it. Kendall Truckenmiller, her second three-pointer.
On the same spot on the floor.
On the exact same spot in the far corner. 25-16. LP with the warp speed of the game at 9 points. Lucy Nelson with her back to the basket at the top of the key. Bounce pass out high to Walter. Now to Truckenmiller as LP looking for somewhere to go. They get the bounce pass to Fent. She takes a spin towards the basket, and the layup doesn't go. It looks like it fell, but went halfway down, came back out. But LP with the offensive rebound. Now Christie will try it again as she gets the basket, takes a spin. So she's got that spin move right around Sydney Lodemeyer towards the basket.
Puts Sydney right at her hip and just rotates around her hip.
As we're tied at 31, and Brooke Walter will walk this one across the timeline. Pick up the pace here a little bit as she gets to the three-point line. Comes back to her off a quick pass from Abigail Bollingberg. Now Christensen with her back to the basket at the free throw line. Walter pulls up for the three. Count it. There's the offense from the senior. Brooke Walter drains a much-needed three.
And her first shot of the game and nothing but net.
And LP with its first points in the second half, 12 with 12:15 to go. Now LP with a 34-31 lead here. As we come up on the 8-minute mark of the second half, LP still at 36-33, looking to extend this back to a two-possession game. Truckenmiller wide open for the three. She finally takes it and count it. Oh, Kendall Truckenmiller nearly gave up on that three, but she's now has 11 points in the game, nine of those from beyond the arc.
And she's 3-for-3 from beyond the arc.
And a huge bucket there, 39-33. LP goes back up by six with 9:40 to go. Sydney with it now out to the half-court circle with it now is Tom Forty, all the way that far out high as Tom Forty has a clear look to the lane, gets the pass down to the right block to Lexi, and her layup off the glass is good. Lexi behind the defense, and Goodyew, 42-41, the Wildcats with their first lead of the game, and now a pass is stolen away by Tom Forty. Her layup is no good, but she's fouled. Walter will get into a sprint here into the front court, pass to Bollingberg near corner, three, no good. Christensen with the rebound and the off-balance layup putback. Oh, there's the box out and the second chance points. That's exactly what the doctor ordered for Lyle Pacelli. 45-42, and Josh Weamy wants a timeout for the Goodyew Wildcats. Opsel, she'll look to go to the middle of the floor, and a quick touch pass right back to her from Tom Forty. It is an Opsel ball for Goodyew. Pass goes down to Sydney Lodemeyer. That one knocked away. Another block for Kirstie Fett. It'll remain Goodyew ball, but that's another block to add to the game total. Goodyew with the last hit, desperation three. That one no good. A long pass from Tom Forty. And the Lyle Pacelli Athletics, 50-40. Four over Goodyew. The four-game losing streak is over. And, Coach, wow. These two can't wait to see each other again in the section tournament, and neither can wait.
So, again, that was on Saturday here on AM 1480K US. And a couple observations from this game on Saturday. The idea that we talked about last week, talked a lot about this last week and really a couple times over the course of the season, the idea that all the preparation this year was for this game. One, because of the pedigree of both teams and really where they stand right now. Both teams wanted to beat the other one while they still look the way that they do, while they still have the standing that they do. It's always going to mean something going forward. Anytime LP and Goodyew play, however many years down the road, it's still going to mean something to the team that wins. You know, just like the Minnesota Wild, you know, the Blackhawks are the worst team in the Central Division right now, and the Wild beat them 3-0 over the weekend. Not really a high quality win because Chicago's down this year, but for the Wild fans, will always take it. Win over Chicago, always going to be great. And a win for either of these two over the other one is always going to have some value to it. But with the standing that they have now, this one just felt like it meant more than even some of the ones in the past. Both, we can't really speak too much for Goodyew, but a lot of this season for LP just seemed like it was designed around this game. And talked about this last week. The game was originally supposed to be in January, but they moved it back a little bit closer to the section tournament. And again, part of what makes it feel like all this whole season was by design for this game in particular, because it had been a couple of times and wow, Pacelli had faltered late in some of the games. They thought they might have had won. And so with these two still in the standing that they have, that's why there was so much emphasis on this game from the very beginning. With that being said, though, I was not at the state tournament games in 2014. I was not here yet. That was the season before I got here when Lyle Pacelli won the section in 2014 and finished fourth place at state. But even at the state tournament games that we have done over the years, whether it's been Packer boys soccer or Grand Meadow football or boys or Austin boys basketball last year, any of the state tournament games or even just any of the other ones that we've had a chance to observe neutrally while up at a certain state tournament for one of our teams, any of the state tournament games that I've done over the years, can't remember any coach, a head coach or an assistant coach, anybody on a coaching staff that did the running fist pump down the floor after the first big play in the game. And I don't bring it up even to mock or poke fun or make fun of Justin Morris or anybody on the Lyle Pacelli coaching staff, but that's what this game meant to all these to the entire team. That's what this game meant. They've been building this one up for the entire season, even if nobody wanted to admit it, even if coach didn't want to admit it when we talked to him a couple weeks ago, which is fine. He's doing the coach move. He's, you know, we're preparing for this game. We're taking everybody seriously, but this was always the game that was the cliche game circled on the calendar. This was always it because of the ones that had fallen short over the last couple of years. This was the one that meant more than anything else, and the team played like it, and he coached like it. State tournament games, section championship games, state championship games. I can't remember a coach that did the running fist pump like that. And not only that, but the over the top, almost the windmill version of the fist pump, the one over the top, over the shoulder fist pump running down the sideline, because that's how much this game meant to this team. Because, you know, the 90-game Southeast Conference win streak is an accomplishment in its own right. And that's something that nobody can ever take that away from this program. It's an incredible accomplishment. No matter who you're playing against, no matter who's in the conference, to not have a slip-up for 90 games in a row, and it's still going. I think there's, you know, they have one more conference game on Thursday when they play Grand Meadow. So if they can get that, it would be 91, and they'll have a shot at triple digits next year. But to not have a slip-up like that is wildly impressive. But the one thing that we always talk about for Lyle Pacelli's schedule, this is one of the few times where we'll ever really do schedule talk on the show, because this is one of the few times when it really matters. As great an accomplishment as that is to win 90 games in a row in conference like that, those are the ones that we put in their own category as the ones that aren't really the quality games. The ones at this point in where Lyle Pacelli girls basketball stands as a program, those are the ones that they're just that they have to play because they're on the schedule. Those are the games that don't really tell us anything. But we always separate the ones like Mary Lutheran, like Hayfield, like Plainview Elgin Millville, like Goodyear. Those are the ones for a team that has those championship aspirations and the one that has legitimate championship aspirations, quite frankly. Those are the games that we really separate, and the Athletics had beaten everybody else. Everybody that had been put on the schedule, at least this year, everybody that had been put on the schedule and what is this year's incarnation of the team, beat them. And actually, tomorrow's game will be interesting. They play Granada Huntley East Chain tomorrow, and the Jaguars are again not the team that they were last year. But, you know, that's an example of why there was so much on this game. You know, Goodyear lost a lot of shooting last year. They haven't been, they've had a tough road schedule, but they haven't been as good a road team. And nobody knows with what Goodyear loses at the end of this season with Sydney Lodemeyer and a couple others, and LP loses Christy Fett and Brooke Walter. Nobody knows what these two teams are going to look like next year. And this game is always going to matter, especially for the next couple of years. Even if one or both have some roster drop-off, this game is always going to mean something. But the Athletics played and Justin Morris coached this game like this is going to be the last time, whether or not it's true, but like this is going to be the last time for a long time that this game has as much value as it does. And there was a little bit of a concern there that they were going to burn out too early. second half, we had some of those flashback moments to the subsection championship game 2 years ago, to the regular season game in Goodyear last season. We had some of those flashbacks. You're wondering if they, with all the hype, with everything that had been put around this game all week, and then even seeing some of the early game celebrations. But there was nothing about this game compared to the last three that we'd seen with Goodyear. There was nothing about this game that looked the same. Like they were just trying to get to the end of the game. Even on the scoring drought, there was about 8 minutes that started the second half. It wasn't a matter of just trying to get to the end of the game or milking the clock or trying to take away Goodyear possessions. There looked like there were some nervous moments, especially as that drought started to go longer and longer, where they passed up on a couple shots. They struggled to make some shots. They went through a couple of different droughts in that second half. But I want to keep this going on the other side. I want to make sure that we don't run too far over in the segment. But one of the other things, as cliche as it may be, that Justin Morris talked about when we had him on the show a couple weeks ago, really stood out in the win over Goodyear. We'll get to that next.